gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant. Or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Episode 206 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. The 2021 Hawkeyes will debut on Saturday for the first time in front of a crowd. Spring ball is a different beast. We're going to talk about what spring ball means, why it's so important, what me and Kevin are going to look for inside of Kinnick Stadium on Saturday, and what you should be looking for as well. Let's have a day, baby. Let's go.
Washed Up Walk-On Fans, episode 206, I believe, of the podcast. And I would like to apologize in advance for both mine and Kevin's poor audio quality today. Kevin, I think, is on the road selling people hip replacements. And I just forgot my mic. I knew I was not going to be at home today. I forgot to pack my mic in my bag. That's my fault, gang. Apologies. I don't really have too much else funny to say. Kevin showed up late per usual. He said he was going to be 5 minutes late. It was actually 7 minutes late. Doyle would have actually killed him. That's neither here nor there. Welcome to the podcast. Kluver, what do you got?
Kevin might have a rebuttal. He turned his mic.
How many times I got to tell y'all, I don't sell hip replacements, knee replacements. I fix people. People break shit and I fix them. That's what I do.
He said that in the intro, and I was like, I think he could maybe sell a young 16-year-old who's perfectly healthy and fit a knee replacement, maybe.
I'll never remember what you do, Kevin, because I just simply don't care.
What do you do again, Drake? What do you do for a living?
I'm a bum. You know the.
I can't remember. You know, I always forget what you do too. I don't know.
Do you remember the beach bum from the beach bum story?
Yeah.
That they told us?
The beach bum and the millionaire.
Yeah, well, I'm just the beach bum part.
Or was it just the beach bum? It was the beach bum and the millionaire, and it was the same guy, right?
Yeah, you just have to decide which path you take. And right now, I'm just taking the beach bum path.
Hey, we love it. You know, you're a content god. We have a few things to talk about. Probably a shorter episode. Fans, you're looking at maybe 30 to 40 minutes if we get real lengthy. But the one thing that we want to talk about tonight is spring ball. We're back in full effect. I don't know if that brings back any PTSD or like sharp memories that jolt Drake or Kevin, but we'll see here in a second. I also want to shout out a couple new Patreon members. For some reason, the Patreon's been popping off. I guess people have been loving that shit, so I'm glad we're doing something right over there. And a couple more people deserve their rightful shout-out. So we have Becky, Dakota Woodley, who's been very active on the social media lately, and Ben Good. Becky, Dakota, and Ben, thank you guys for joining the Walk-On Army. And now you have all those delicious perks. It may be because Drake and I said we would potentially get physical with, two of those three are or women. So I'm taken, and actually so is Drake, and so is Kevin, I'm pretty sure. So that's all alleged and neither here nor there. Spring ball. What do you boys think of when you think spring ball? I always thought hardest time of the year, but not for me. Does that correlate?
That's right there. That's my thoughts on spring ball.
That's it?
Just spring ball is a long drone. Yeah. No, I don't think spring ball is the best camp. I'd take spring ball over camp, not every day.
Okay. See, I was always in a general position of difference because while I still was there for the time, you know, I was still putting in the actual time volume, the physical volume, and definitely the mental volume were never the same for me. So I got to see you guys go through the two periods which were the most grueling. I always thought spring ball was just like, I guess maybe it really depends on your class load too. Like if you're a young guy and you have a full schedule and you're also trying to compete and really win a spot in spring ball like a lot of young guys do. I've been talking about that a lot on the Patreon-only podcast for the third tiers, the roster series. There's a lot of these guys that are like, all right, it's year two. It's year three. Need to find some time on the field here or I'm going to get passed up. Having to deal with that and also a really heavy workload academically, that can be grindy. And camp doesn't obviously have that the academic side to it, but obviously the football is all day, every day then. So I don't know. You guys would rather spring ball than camp?
No, I'd rather camp than spring ball. At least you get to play games after you go to camp. After you go to spring ball, you just get to, go back to absolutely nothing just to do it all over again. It sucks ass.
It's bad.
Dude, are you kidding me? The 2 weeks after spring ball before the end of the semester is like the best time of the year. I look forward to that every time. Like, all you do is work out in the morning, you got class, and then that's it. It's like
and
the least amount of like time.
I don't disagree, but the thing is that you still don't have football games afterwards. So you just bashed each other's heads in for a long time, got a lot of headaches, probably a lot of people got hurt, and then there was no actual football games afterwards. I hated it. That's my take.
There you go.
See, but would what you got to do though is after the spring game is you got to get absolutely blitzed out of your mind, and that was great.
I'll never forget.
It is cool for one night, but then the hangover the next day is now the 16th spring practice, dude.
True. That's so true.
See, but the thing for me was, like, dude, camp's a grind, and then the season is a grind, okay? There's no break. It's from August through January that you're just, all right, well, it's August 1st, we're going back to camp, and I'm going to be in pain for the next 8 months, and that's just great. At the end of spring ball, he's like, oh, man, little beat up, not terrible, only 15 practices, spread out over 5 weeks. Now we're just working out, got to get time to get my body right. Going into summer, great time of year. I don't know. I thought spring ball was a lot more fun than camp.
It's
I don't know, man. You're a bit of a masochist, but yeah. We'll move on.
I'm curious, Drake, as you sat, because, you know, you guys were players who actually got, like, you know, you visited the training room more than just for the hot tub, which I dearly miss, by the way. There's mornings where I wake up and I'm like, oh, it'd be nice to roll into the complex and just dip down into the hot tub and, you know, sit next to
him. Dude, that is like the hardest transition, like, post college training is like you don't get a nice 10-minute hot tub to warm up every day anymore.
Yeah,
and that thing makes a difference.
And it's super privileged to say that, but it's just the truth. You know, for 4 years you hop in a hot tub every day to kind of get your morning. It's like a cup of coffee. It's like your own. It's like you're the
seriously, man.
Yeah, And
back when you're in Iowa and you spend 10, 15 minutes in the hot tub before a workout, like, you never went into that thing sore or, like, you need to stretch out more before you start the workout. Now, granted, I'm a few years older now, but every time I go into the gym now, I'm like, stiff as shit. Like, I'm just like, dude, I just want to bend over, and now I got to put 400 pounds on my back. So, like, I really could use a hot tub right now.
Kevin, you're going to be that guy who gets up out of bed, and, like, when your ankle, when your bottom of your feet hit the floor, it's going to send that pain up your ankles into your knees. Like, that's going to be you when you're 45, dude.
Dude, it's me as I'm 26. I'm beating the fuck out of my body, but I goddamn love it. So I'm going to keep doing it until they replace every fucking joint I got, and they're going to make me a cyborg.
He's going to run his own joints into the ground so that he can get commission off himself.
We got quotas to make, man. We got quotas to make.
Yeah, dude, Kevin's the ultimate sleazebag.
Unbelievable.
He's the only guy. Listen, Kevin's the only kind of prick that wears his own joints out so that he can continue to get Employee of the Month.
And he accepts it. He accepts that award in a wheelchair on the stage. Like, he rolls it up there and he's like, I'd like to shout out myself for continuing to max out my deadlift for the last 22 years in a row. where I was going with what?
I was about to say, if you ain't selling joints to yourself, then you're not selling to all your customers. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. Drake, where I was going with that is people who visited the training room, sat there and got their ankles taped and kind of, mentally prepared for practice. Kind of, you just sit there and you let the trainers do their work on you. Did that induce an anxiety of knowing, like, okay, I'm sitting here, I'm getting my ankles taped, I'm mentally going over?
Dude, I cannot tell you how bad I did not want to be there. I cannot explain it. Like, the feeling, like, the sick feeling of just, like, I would do anything to not be going to hurt myself right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, because when you're doing other stuff, right, you're putting on your pads. I mean, even then, there's just, like, this groan of, like, oh, here we go, we're about to do it. But when you're doing something active, it almost takes your mind off of it. But what I imagine as you sit there and get your ankles taped and you're just kind of scrolling on your phone is, like, it's this downtime where the only thing that creeps into your mind is, all right, in 35 minutes, I have to be on one. I have to be lit up like a little elf on cocaine to run my neck into brick walls for 90 minutes. And it's just not something that I would ever sign up for.
I had a bottle of ammonia in the locker, and that was my powdered sugar for the elves. First of all, yeah, put some respect on the elves. Santa doesn't let them have cocaine in the North Pole. That's powdered sugar.
But they're still snorting it, dude.
Yes, but it's not cocaine.
I just imagine that just sitting there, just waiting for – it's like waiting for war, dude. Spring ball's a huge time, a huge, huge time, especially for the young guys like I mentioned. Here's an interesting stat, right? Jack Campbell and Dane Belton, arguably two of our better defensive players, they have not gone through a spring ball yet, and they've played two seasons for the Hawks already. They're going to be going into their third. Isn't that insane?
Sounds lucky to me. I want to hear how they got out of this.
Well, they played as true freshmen, and then COVID hit.
Sounds lucky to me. Gosh damn it.
I don't know about that. What I see in guys like them, and then also guys, everyone, spring ball is this massive period of development. Kevin, in your mind, what are some of the biggest ways to develop? What kind of development happens for a guy like that who hasn't had a spring ball? He's already been on the field for 2 years, but he hasn't had a spring ball yet. What does spring ball provide the opportunity for more than anything? Is it mental?
Yeah, I mean, it's totally mental reps, but you should be taking mental reps from the moment you walk in the door. There's no, there's really no substitution for getting live reps. So, say this is going to be like your first time running with the ones or with the twos, like, it's just that much faster as far as how the speed of the game. So, there's really no way to stimulate that, or excuse me, simulate that just watching tape. So, you know, you spend your first 2 years kind of just getting a feel for the defense. You should really just know your position, your assignments, everyone else's assignments. But getting those reps once you break the two deep, that's the biggest thing in my opinion. And there's plenty of reps to be had because those practices are 3.5 hours long. Jesus Christ.
A lot of specialist golf going on. So something interesting happened. Tyler Linderbaum he's our All-American center. He's potentially the best center in college football. He's going to go to the NFL next year. We got him for one more year, and he's going to be in the league for a long time. And I actually talked about this on today's Roster Series podcast. We just had, and I don't know if either of you are aware of this, probably not, we just had our backup center enter the transfer portal. Noah Fenske is his name. He was going to be a sophomore, third year, and I wonder what your guys' thoughts are on the transfer portal. Drake, you probably don't give a shit so much and you don't follow it, but Kevin maybe more
We've
so.
We've talked about this before, bro.
No, but it's gone to a whole nother level this year where there's some absurd number of kids that are, like, in the transfer portal, and I almost, like, it's
We're in
to
a quitter's society, pal. This thing is going to get out of control. Football's not even going to exist after a little while because you can't have a functioning football team with 30 guys. But there's only going to be 30 guys willing to stay on the team because those are the only ones going to get the playing time. Everybody else is going to fucking quit and go cry to their mommies.
I don't know if this is the reason for this Noah Fenske kid transferring, but the way I look at it is I hope it's not. I hope it's something like he just doesn't like football anymore. Everybody on this podcast would understand that, or he was struggling in school. I don't hope that those are the cases, but I hope that it's something other than not getting playing time, because if you look at what this kid was in line for, you're going back to guys like James Ferentz, James Daniels, Austin Blythe, all guys who, I mean, if you're an Iowa center, you're going to play in the league, dude. Like, it's better chance that you do than you don't. And so he was in line to take over for Linderbaum after he leaves for the league, and then he gets to be the Iowa center for 2 years. I don't know. It sucks. And now a young guy has to step in. So the center position, or sometimes the guards, I know that Sean Welsh was very versatile. James Daniels was versatile. We like to have versatile offensive linemen. It's going to be a really big spot to figure out. Will be interesting because the Hawks are live on Saturday. Kevin, are you going to be able to make it there? Are you going to show up in Kinnick?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to try. I'm going to try to show up. I mean, I'd love to heckle Coach Woods and Seth Wallace, but you know, if the schedule allows, I'll be there.
Okay. Speaking of heckling Coach Woods or Coach Wallace, there is a player media day today, and Torrey Taylor, who is an absolute legend, he was up. Charlie Jones, incredible at the return position last year, he spoke. Max Cooper spoke. Ellen DeGeneres Part 2, him and Gervais fight for the Ellen DeGeneres Award.
What did that goofy asshole have to say?
I didn't listen to much other than Torrey, and you would think that I would, right? And then who else spoke? Tyrone Tracy spoke a little bit too. He said, you know, they asked him about Petras, and he was like, yeah, you know, you guys know last year he wasn't the most accurate, and during spring ball, Spencer's been on the money. So, I mean, maybe more importantly than any of the young guys trying to fight for a position is Spencer Petras' spring ball this season. I mean, he's had a spring ball before 2 years ago, but not as the one, you know, and so this is huge for him as well. But then I tweeted out, I was like, damn, this live player media, now that we can watch it happen live on YouTube because of the whole COVID thing, it's hilarious. And then I tweeted again. I was like, what if I applied for a Iowa football press pass? And then, like, you know, in the middle of the interview, it's like, next question is from Tyler Kluber, Washed Up Walk-Ons. Can you guys imagine if I infiltrated?
That would be legendary, dude. I implore you to do so, because that would be the ultimate troll, man. That would feel so good.
The fans were all over it, and I had half of the media guys, I'm talking half of the media guys, reach out to me in DMs and say, you should hop in. It would be amazing. And I was like, can I just...
Seriously, what's stopping you, though?
Well, I just don't think I can just do that, right? Like, you have to have the info to get in on the call, which I may or may not be having sent to me tomorrow when the coaches speak, Coach Woods being one of them. So I might be jumping in.
Dude, if you get a question to Coach Woods, bro, if it actually says from Tyler Kluber, oh, God, that would be awesome.
Well, this comes out on Thursday, so you guys listening right now can go back and find it if it's happened. I think that tomorrow, Wednesday, I am going to hop in on that call and try and come up with a positive question that actually is very informative and something that only a player could come up with, a former player. But I'm going to try and be funny as hell, too. And, you know, I have a feeling that Steve Rowe might shut it down before it ever happens, because it's all online. So, like, I think you have to type in the chat, raise your hand, and they're going to see, like, Tyler Kluber and be like, how the fuck did this guy get in here? But I think I'm going to try it, boys. Washed Up Walk-Ons is going to be live at Coach's Press tomorrow.
Steve Rowe's going to see Tyler Kluver's name pop up, and he's going to be like, there's a rat.
Get this fucking guy out of here. Yeah, but everybody was so for it.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed Assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Dude, I'm talking everyone. And it really made me think, like, shit, could I liven up media day a little bit? Could I go be the Pat McAfee in Iowa City and, like, make people laugh and not be so uptight? Maybe.
That would be some tremendous stuff, man. If you can pull that off, that's content I'm here for.
It'd be incredible. I might try. Have you guys seen – so – I took a few questions, and we're gonna finish on some questions here. Do either of you guys have anything come across your Twitter timeline? I know you guys both were basically just dormant. Drake, you've been dormant, and Kevin. But have you guys heard of this Cooper DeJean kid?
He's from high school, right?
Yes.
Pretty new?
Yep.
Yeah, I heard of him in high school.
So one of the questions was, what do you think about him and his chances once he gets to Iowa? And I watched him play basketball this past season, and I understand he's playing against the farm kids of Iowa. These kids literally just were out breaking the ice in the water trough for the cattle, and then they came in and laced up their Nike Elites and are trying to guard this kid. But what he was doing to kids on the basketball court and the dunks that he was throwing down, he was extremely athletic and is just an absolute baller. It doesn't matter what sport, I imagine. And So the answer to that question, specifically me, because I probably know more about him than either of the other two, is I would compare this kid to if some of you remember a while back, I think it was 2016 or 17, we had a kid named Noah Klaberg on the team, and maybe because these two kids look like each other a little bit or what, but just extremely built out of high school, already very athletic, way, way beyond his competition in high school. I think that he's a kid like him, and he's just going to find the field. Reminds me a little bit of Brandon Snyder as well. Snyder built himself while he was at Iowa, but he just, you know, just a kid who worked his ass off in the weight room. He's going to play special teams. You might find him at gunner if he's got the speed. Otherwise, he's going to be somewhere on punt. I mean, this kid's going to make it his way onto the field. And in high school, he played quarterback, running back, receiver. He filled the water bottles.
Did he play at Ankeny?
No. He played small school, like OABCIG something. He torched kids, dude. It was like watching Josie Jewell if he went and played at Decorah right now. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it.
All right, well. All right, next question.
How sore were you after the first day of full contact football? Did we ever have, like, the shells practice to start spring ball, or did we go straight into the pads?
No, you do. You have shells.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be very illegal. We'd be getting people fired if you were to say that.
Well, I just couldn't remember if that was the rule, because I know in camp you start off with a couple days.
Yeah, man, my neck pretty much always felt as if I was going to quadriplegic any day.
Kev, how did you
remember? It was always the neck that was the most sore.
And then you just build up the scar tissue around all the joints, and it's all good, dude.
No, you get used to being sore.
Yeah, your body, your natural baseline when you wake up in the morning just changes a little bit. Yeah, I understand that. We really didn't. I'm a little disappointed in the walk-on army, to be honest. Didn't get a lot of questions. Tweeted this in the morning, 10:30 in the morning. Here's something to talk about. A little bit, not really. Kevin was a linebacker. Oh, we shit on you all over the place, by the way, the other day, Kev.
Sweet, with Christian?
Yep, with Christian.
I'm going to text him a little bitch still.
What was funny was in the podcast, he actually brought up when he was telling how he kind of got on Iowa's radar, how he's like, you know, I went to the camps, and then they offered the scholarship. You guys know how that goes. And we were both like, whoa, buddy. We still don't know what that's like. The other day we were talking about how he was telling about how he would like watch Josie and you and all the bullshit, but we made sure to crap on you pretty hard.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. I don't even know where I was going. Oh, I know. This is a DB topic or question. You're really a linebacker, but we have a transfer from you and I named Xavier Williams, who played.
I heard this kid is an insane athlete.
Yeah. So I'm a little perplexed at how we're gonna fit him in. I don't know where he's gonna go. I could pull up the depth chart here, and I don't think he's on the initial spring depth chart. And it would be very hard to be on our spring depth chart because of one specific reason, and that is we have.
He's never taken a rep as an Iowa Hawkeye.
Well, that. But he's not even a two, right? And we have maybe the most experienced back four, like D-back core in the Big Ten. I mean, potentially in the country. We are extremely deep. Or not deep, but we are extremely experienced. Matt Hankins is back for his what seems like 18th year. I mean, he played like
– Him and Kemmer are going into their seventh year.
Yeah, him and Kemmer are going to graduate when they're 62.
They're going to die Hawkeyes, dude, like actually in uniform.
they're going to keep finding ways to play. So he's back. Huge to have Hankins back, especially with the vocal leadership role that a lot of coaches and players have talked about him assuming over the past year plus. Riley Moss, who started as a freshman, got absolutely torched by Purdue in his freshman year, but has continued to grow and is really pretty solid at the other corner. And then we have Jack Kerner and Kayvon Merriweather, who are both experienced guys at the safety position. It's tough to find playing time when you're looking at those four guys, and Xavier Williams comes in as another DB.
You left out Zane Belton too.
Right, at the cash position, who played that well last year, and quite honestly, I think it has the highest ceiling on this defense. I think Dane Belton, until it doesn't happen, I think Dane Belton is Cam Chancellor. That's just in my mind. I think that's what it is. I don't even think the kid...
Do you realize how big Cam Chancellor was, dude?
Okay, he's not physically Cam Chancellor, but he's gonna be in the top half of safeties in the league at some point. I truly believe that. I don't even think Dane Belton has reached 50% of his potential in football yet, and he was murdering kids last year. So you're looking at five DBs there. I mean, the cash position that Dane plays is a little bit walk-down linebacker, fifth DB, but maybe Xavier fits in there. Maybe DB is not really a spot where you play a breather guy, is it, Kev? Like, it's not like D-line where you rotate, or could it be?
Yeah, not really, no. We never really did that much during my time. I mean...
Special teams?
I've heard the kid's a really good athlete, but like you said, where do you put him? Because we got guys all over the place.
I don't know.
I don't know if he's... See, the thing I have... I'm not 100% sure you could probably check on this, but I heard he's kind of short.
Yeah,
I don't know... You kind of want a guy with some longer arms to play that cash position because you're going to be taking on blocks from wide receivers, and you really got to set the edge. So I don't know if he really fits that role.
Yeah, so Xavier Williams, he's 5'11", 190. Like, that's not Dane Belton. Dane's a little different than that. Dane stands at 6'1". It says 190. I would bet he's closer to the old 2-bill mark.
Yeah. Maybe he competes for that other corner job opposite Hankins.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
he could.
I know one thing. There's never been a shortage of talent. There's a competition is a good thing. So
yep.
Not worried about it.
Yeah. What I'll end the podcast with is this, because again, I'm disappointed in Wash Up Walk-Ons Nation. There weren't a bunch of other questions. I fucked up. That's on me. That's on me.
You're right.
Extreme ownership, that's on me, and I'll do better next time. I'll leave you guys with this. Almost everybody, I think Spencer said it, Max said it today, somebody else said it. Two names that are popping up on the radar as young guys who just enrolled at semester, they've literally been in the program for 10, 12 weeks at this point, are Keegan Johnson, freshman wide receiver out of Kansas City, and Arlen Bruce, who was out of Kansas and then moved and won a state championship with Ankeny this last season. Both guys who were really projected to do something, and they're already being talked about a lot. So that's really good news. It's, you know, we lose two guys, obviously, in Brandon and Amir, so doesn't hurt to have depth at the wide receiver position. And I doubt either of you have seen some of the highlights that I saw on Twitter of either of these kids, but let me tell you, this Keegan Johnson kid, he is a 6'1", probably close to 200-pound receiver who's not as physically imposing as Brandon Smith, but I would call him a bigger playmaker. Like, potential. I think I think Keegan Johnson could be a dude. And Arlen Bruce, he's a shorter guy, 5'10", but he's stocky, you know, probably 190, 195. And in the slot. He's shifty. He's incredible with the ball in his hands. And I think it's two guys that 100% will play this fall. And it, one of the big things that will tell us a lot about that is this Saturday. So I don't know about you, Kev, but anytime you get to be back in the walls of Kinnick, it fires me up pretty good.
Yeah, man, I'm hoping to go to this thing, scout the new boys, and see what type of team we got going on this year.
So there you go. Drake, you'll be in Arizona just soaking in the sun, and that's
– I wish I could be in Kinnick, man. I do miss Kinnick a lot. I see pictures of it sometimes, and I think, like, I cannot believe those years are behind us.
Doesn't it feel like we're still in it?
There's no chance we finish that quickly. But dude,
those years are not only behind us. They're getting pretty fucking far behind us at this point.
I know.
There's one class of guys left that we even shared time with.
I know, and I don't even remember half of them. This roster series has been big for me, honestly, because I'm learning the roster inside and out, and there's a lot of dudes who – dude, like – Johnny Pleva, I just went over him the other day. Plev's brother. They're twins, dude. They're absolute twins. Except for Johnny's a little bit smaller, but
Macon had a little bit better frame to work with, I would say.
But he's still beefy. He's 235 pounds. Bunch of guys on here that are just, I mean, it's been fun. That's it. I'm excited to be back in Kinnick. Football's great. We are old. Dude, Drake, I know the next time that you step foot in Kinnick Stadium, I know the day. Unless you make an attempt or are just back in Iowa City in the falls for some reason, it'll be the 10-year reunion of the Rose Bowl team.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
Assuming that they do that.
Assuming I'm even invited.
You might get the DJK treatment, bro.
Dog, you got to realize, I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility.
Yes, it is.
You think they like me around them places?
There's no way you're getting DJ K'd.
You don't think?
They might like others more than you. Do they like Kevin Ward more than they like Drake Kulik? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
But did you do anything enough to, I mean, KF, he knows how many times you met with Carmen. You're liable to show up to the game strapped up anyway. If you're not invited,
you can't say that.
So I think it's probably in their best interest to invite you. And yeah, I think that'll be the next time that you're back in the stadium. And maybe we just get you in the pads that day and you just run it back. 23B.
Oh, I don't know about that, boys. Don't think there's too much B play in my future.
No, probably not. And you'll be fresh off like a fair amount of alcohol probably once you're inside the stadium. So that's it. Little spring ball preview. Hopefully Kevin gets to go inside and see some of it. I will be there watching all of it, so we'll break some of this down.
Whoa, you're coming down, buddy?
Yeah, bro, I'm coming.
Oh, well, fuck, dude. Let's fucking do it.
Yeah. So I'll be in contact with you, Kevin, when Saturday gets here. But
all right, screw it. I'll be there.
You won't.
No.
You won't. Dude, you won't even come back for like a – what would it take to get you back, Drake, for a game that wasn't a game that we were invited to?
If
top 10 matchup?
If Pete and Kim were like, dude, all three of you guys have to be here and we'll do it big – I would show up, but it would probably have to involve Pete and Kim.
Wow,
I actually ran into Pete. What was that Friday? I ran into him.
What a legend.
He told me they're not doing the thing in the hotel above, right across from Kinnick anymore.
Really?
I was very sad to hear that. No, yeah, they're not.
Man, that
said the owner was kind of trying to screw him out, like they wanted too much money or something like that.
Oh my
god! They just kept changing things around on him, so yeah, they're not going to be up there anymore.
That's trash.
I know. I was super disappointed.
We really should do a little. We need to find a way to do like a live podcast from Gray's, like sponsored by them, and like
get people. I hate to make you even more sad that Graves ain't even open right now. You know that whole strip of buildings that they're in?
Yeah.
Getting demolished. They're building up a new high rise there.
What?
Yeah, dude, Iowa City is.
Pete had told us about that a couple years ago.
Dude, I'm pissed.
Yeah, so they said they're probably going to do like a just catering and to-go place, and that's it.
Holy shit. That's so sad. Here's
well,
one more.
It's not really that sad because Gray's is still good. Like their catering business was by far their biggest business anyways.
True.
So
here's one more question. We need to get one of the boys on here soon before like they're engulfed back in NFL shit. Who do we get on? I mean, we just get both Josie and Ike on for more episodes. You said Pat today, Drake. Who do we get first?
I don't care. Just one of them. Pat Anger, you owe me a fucking favor, bud.
He owes himself a favor. He needs to start taking care of himself. Jesus Christ. Anyway, hopefully y'all enjoyed that little insight. We're going to be there. If you see me or Kevin, I won't speak for Kevin. KF taught us not to speak for our teammates. If you see me and you notice me and for some reason you want to strike up a conversation or whatever, do it.
But just know, if you start a conversation with Kluber, he talks so much, it's insane.
Talk a lot, bro. In fact, actually, in the conversations, Morehouse was responding to the whole walk-on media press pass today, and he responded with, Ferentz used to talk about, or used to say you talk too much. And I was like, he was being generous. yeah. It just is what it is, man. And now I'm a podcast.
Hey, it's a straight shooter, dude.
Yeah, no, and that's real. And I always, the thing that always comes back to my mind is somewhere Coach Doyle is sitting at his home, and every once in a while he thinks, Kluber became a podcaster. That fucking makes sense. And he's still shitting on me from.
And then he also says, and his podcast sucks ass. Also makes sense.
Wow. That,
all
dude, that,
I do in CrossFit. The world makes sense.
Hey, dude.
If he looks at your two co-hosts, Kluver's podcast with Drake on it, this thing sucks. And he doesn't even listen. And that's it.
I swear to God, I don't care if this podcast dies out after ever, you know, however long. I will get Doyle on a mic for an hour, and we will talk at some point. I don't care if it's 10, 15 years from now. It's going to go down.
Good luck, man.
Well, Doyle knows he's on a mic. Are you just going to catch him?
Oh, no, I'll tell him. I'm telling. It's going to be past the time when anyone ever gives a shit. And, you know, who knows, 2035, the Wash Up Walk-Ons releases an episode after 10 years of being dormant, and it's just episode whatever, Chris Doyle. I mean, how legendary of a comeback would that be?
I'm going to save what I was about to say. I'll piss some people off right there. I'm just going to stop.
Save it for when we pod with Doyle. All right, that's it. Episode 206. We're glad you joined us. It's the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Love it or leave it. USA number one. Talk to you next time. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo. We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams. Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today. So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.